And that's really tough because most people focus on the equality. Like if we look at schools, everyone's like making sure everybody has a desk, everybody has a textbook, everybody has the pencils, right? Equity, however, is giving people what they need to reach the same outcome as everyone else. And that's different than equality.
Welcome to the Take 5 for Your Health and Well-Being podcast. I'm your host, Jacques LaRouge.
How are you doing?
I am doing well.
Dr. Sarah Nystuen-Roizenfeld is an instruction and curriculum expert. She designs classes for students in post-secondary and graduate learning environments both here at the center and at the University of Minnesota College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Resource Sciences. She's a specialist for technological tools that enhance student learning experience and increase instructor presence. Dr. Nystuen-Roizenfeld specializes in alternative and more equitable learning contexts, including online learning platforms. How is equity different from equality?
That is a very good question because the two terms are commonly interchanged, but there is actually a distinct difference. The idea of equality is that everybody has the same amount of the same thing. You know, you have the little kids that say, that's not fair, everybody should get one sucker. And that's equality, when everybody gets the one sucker, right? Equity, however, is giving whatever it is, skills, items, access, where people are, to help them all reach the same place. And that's what equity is, which is different than equality.
But how do we go about measuring something like equity in a community? How do we know who needs more?
A really good way to measure equity in a community is to look at the outcomes of the entities within that community. Is everyone reaching the same point? Are they coming out of it with the same skills? Are they able to, cross the finish line at the same time? That kind of analogy.
So what sort of areas in society do we look at?
So looking at strong early childhood development, education as a whole, job training, health and human services, food systems, is quality of food, access, parks and natural resources, community economic development within their community, measuring housing and accessibility, public safety, and laws and justice. Is it all meeting the needs of the people and the members of that particular community? If it is, then it's an equitable community. Just having it there is not necessarily measuring equity.
What's created these imbalances of equity so far?
Power imbalances are actually forms of oppression. And forms of oppression are pretty easy to identify. They're racism, sexism, classism, homophobia, ableism, xenophobia, and having that in your workplace, internally in your family and friend groups, in your personal worldview, maybe externally in how you interact with people or how other people act with people. Even community and government agencies can also create imbalances and forms of oppression, as we are very aware of in our current political climate and social climate here in this country.
And these issues go beyond a social dimension, correct?
It is so much deeper than social constructs. However, we tend to see things as social constructs and social networking because we're humans and we share space and we share things. But in actuality, there is many different ways that inequality and inequity can demonstrate itself. For example, there is economic inequity between wage and pay, sometimes based on gender, sometimes based on class or type of work, CEO versus blue collar skills, quote unquote. It's educational. There are racial gaps. There are funding gaps based on geography and location. There are transportation issues that cause types of educational inequity. There is biological inequity when there is oppression within different genders, sexual orientations, ethnicities. There is psychological inequity. People who suffer from psychological diagnoses like PTSD. There's physical inequity. The disabled or those who have a need for assistance in one way or another. There's medical inequity, access to health insurance, and also types of networks and doctors and things. There's political inequity, how structured differences in the distribution of political resources occur. There's age inequity, child and senior abuse and poverty. And there's food inequity, accessibility and quality and the type of food available at certain even neighborhood stores. So, although those things may be social in the fact that they exist in a neighborhood or a community, they themselves aren't actually social entities in themselves.
Wow, this is such a long list of inequity. I think it would be easy to get overwhelmed by it. So I want to know, what are the steps we can take as humans to help each other out?
First, the biggest thing is collaboration. So all those things I just listed, looking at creating collaboration with local health organizations, collaborating and creating opportunities to improve health for youth in schools or for the elderly, using collaborations with business support for workplace health promotion and creating cultures of health within workplaces. U.S. corporate giving, that could help create more equitable environments. Federal allocations for health investment related to nutrition and indoor and outdoor physical activity. Collaborating on community relations and policy at every level and making sure that we're looking at communities as whole communities and people as whole people and not compartmentalizing them as we tend to do in many aspects of our lives and realizing that things are interconnected and therefore collaboration is the key to creating equity in our communities.
What would an equitable community look like?
You know, that's a really good question because I'm going to cite the .earth blog is from the New York Times. And I know that recently they stated that Beijing is considered the most equitable city in the world, which is surprising, I think. I think people would find that interesting. But again, equitable, meaning that everybody has what they need to be at the same rate, but what is the same level is defined obviously by their government, so that's different. But Western Europe boasts the greatest concentration of cities where everyone lives at basically the same economic level.
And how are we doing here in our own country, the United States?
In the United States, the levels of inequality and inequity between the richest and the poorest in the largest cities, like New York, Miami, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., are at the same levels that are found in cities like Abidjan, Nairobi, Buenos Aires. And so in this country, levels of inequity and inequality exist in our greatest, quote unquote, cities, right? And equity exists in places that maybe we wouldn't think of, like Beijing. And the reason why is because there's a collaboration for everyone to have buy-in.
Do you ever think we can achieve an equitable community for everyone?
I don't think it's impossible. I think it would take a lot of collaboration at higher levels than even city government and state government. But the place to start is with yourself. Like, we may have to look for collaboration at the federal level, right? And work our way down, but it starts with you and your well-being and looking at yourself and collaborating, putting yourself in collaboration. And I believe if people did that, just starting within their own blocks and neighborhoods, that it could be possible. And I mean, basically inequity comes because there's a hierarchy, right? Hierarchical order creates inequity. Very basically, if people have less than they need, hierarchy will always exist. It comes from scarcity. Scarcity of money, scarcity of food, scarcity of opportunity, scarcity of acceptance. Eliminate scarcity and you create equity. So is it possible? Yes. Is it going to be hard? Yes.
What a way to end the episode. I think those are amazing points. Is there anything else you'd like to leave with our audience?
Oh man, I could go on. I'm a talker. I could go on forever. But I think the first thing we need to do is just be okay talking about inequity. I know it can make some people very uncomfortable. We have to recognize privilege where it exists. And privilege is becoming this buzzword, right? And some people get immediately, a wall goes up. But what we mean by privilege is just realize that there are existing power structures that exist. They do. And I mean, here's a really good analogy, if I may. Maybe you're left-handed, right? If you're left-handed, I'm not. My husband is. I don't know. Are you left-handed?
I'm not. I'm righty.
Okay. So be a left-handed person and you walk into a building, you walk into a classroom. You walk into that knowing you're going to have to adapt before you've done anything. You know that the desks are likely going to be right-handed, that the utensils, the scissors, the whatever might be made for right-handed people. There are groups of people in this country that are the left-handed in everything. They go into situations knowing that. And if you don't go into a situation where you give a second thought that the desk may not work well for you, or that the scissors isn't going to work well for you, or you can turn a dial the other way, then you have privilege. And it may be the privilege of the right hand, it may be the privilege of belonging to some other group. But when you can look at it and say it exists, then that is what I would like people to know, and to not be afraid of discussing. Aim high, don't give up. You know, talk about it. Even increasing your own well-being and your own awareness of your own privilege can contribute to community's well-being too, because you're bettering yourself, and therefore you're going to better your community.
Thanks for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by the University of Minnesota's Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing. I've been your host, Jacques LaRouge, a student communications assistant here at the center. If you're interested in learning more, Dr. Sarah Nystuen Roizenfeld teaches CSPH 1101, Self, Society, and Environment. You can find out more at z.umn.edu/CSPH1101. She also teaches CSPH 5118, Whole Person, Whole Community, The Reciprocity of Well-Being. You can find more information at the link z.umn.edu/CSPH5118. Visit takingcharge.csh.umn.edu for more information on a variety of health and well-being topics. On Taking Charge, you can create goals, take short self-assessments, and explore many articles, tips, and videos from well-being experts.